Welcome to Real Flix Reviews. You're like a book club for people hate reading. This week we're doing the movie Stripes, made in 1981, and season one, episode one of The Sinner. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So here's the description of the movie Stripes, 1981. Two friends who are dissatisfied with their jobs decide to join the Army for a bit of fun. Which, by the way, isn't that the same description as In the Army Now with Pauly Shore?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's the same one for Full Metal Jacket.
I gotta say, I love the cast. I mean, this is Bill Murray, John Candy, Harold Ramis. And John Larroquette.
Yep, a very, very young John Larroquette.
This has an amazing cast.
Laryngitis.
One of the reasons I picked it, because Bill Murray has the rare ability for all his movies to be the same in quality. Like, they're not shit. They're not always amazing, but they're always at least some level of being entertaining. I give this movie a 3 out of 5. This is a movie, if it's on, I'll always watch it. There's always scenes I'll laugh at, specifically the opening part when they're when he throws the keys off the bridge, and the army training scene.
You know, this one for me, it's one of Bill Murray's lower, just down there on his list of really good, funny movies. I mean,
where would you put Groundhog Day on?
Before? Groundhog Day is his top. That's okay. That's the pinnacle of his career. That and Ghostbusters as well is up there with him. But
so what's the trifecta? Caddyshack?
Yeah, I'd say that's the other one. I never was a big fan of What About Bob? That movie always was kind of stupid to me. I know people that love that one, but it's like...
Time out.
You heard me.
I hate that movie.
I hate that movie, too.
And I even saw it in theater.
And, you know, even in Zombieland, he was entertaining. But I wouldn't say that was one of his films. That's more of a Woody Harrelson type thing. But this one, for me, is probably one of his, I wouldn't say worst ones, but it's more middle ground for him. I really can't go 3, can't go 2.5. It's a 2, as far as I'm concerned. It's his longest one, too. This is just, whatever, 2 hours?
Yeah, it's it's 1 hour and 46 minutes.
All right.
That is the one thing about this movie. It does have the amazing ability to suck just enough that it seems longer than it should be.
Yeah. Oh, Lost in Translation is another decent one, but...
Specifically for him, I would say comedies. We'll get in more into this. We'll Ryan?
Okay. Well, I think Emma Stone in Zombieland said it best. When she said Bill Murray has a line directly to my funny bone, I can completely agree with her. I pretty much love every face that dude ever made.
Wasn't the funny bone she was talking about, but
weird and out of context. It just didn't make any sense, you know. Anyway,
I thought Amber had a hold on that.
Also, just.
I thought we were getting awkward. Isn't that what we're doing?
Don't you have to make sense to be awkward?
No.
Okay, I guess you got a point.
How do you think all the Hangover movies are supposedly funny? Or Napoleon Dynamite?
Okay. When was the last time you watched Animaniacs?
Uh-huh. Oh, no, that shit always made sense. Don't fucking get me started.
Okay, Mad TV? Look,
okay, Mad TV is a completely different story. That's just...
Will Sasso, psychotic. I still love you.
But... Okay, bringing up the Hangover movies.
Wait, what?
I said bringing up the Hangover movies.
The Hangover movies. Are we going to be going to Ted next?
Awkward comedies.
Oh, all right, gotcha. Okay, I'm on board now.
Okay. Sorry, now I'm eating goldfish over here. You're throwing off my chi.
All right, I'll have a donut.
Want a donut? Sure. Like people are going to want to listen to us eat for a bit. So what were you saying, Ryan, before you rudely interrupted yourself?
This is a good pod. It's a good pod right here. So know that, one, I like this movie apparently a lot more than you guys do. I think it's one of his better movies. He's got about five really great comedies. I definitely agree. Groundhog Day is at the top of the list. But this, to me, I mean, I'll watch this anytime. It's a solid 3.5. But it's all for the cast. I guess that was my point with the Hangover movies. Those movies are funny because of the people in them. They don't necessarily have to make sense or tell some great larger story. Just work from scene to scene and tell me a shit ton of jokes, and I'm fucking happy.
Honestly, excuse me. To me, I think the only reason why this movie's funny is just strictly because of Bill Murray. I'm a huge John Candy fan. I like Harold. How do you say his actual last name? Ramis?
Ramis.
I love Harold Ramis, but honestly, Bill Murray makes, in my opinion, 99% of this movie. Harold Ramis is good because he kind of downplays, with his own sense of comedy, Bill Murray's kind of off the top.
I'll give you that.
Over, you know, sense of humor. I think it's the same reason why they did so good in Ghostbusters is Harold Ramis has such kind of a dry sense of humor. I would say he has more of a sense of humor in this movie than he did as Egon Spengler, but that's because of the character. But yeah, there's just one of my favorite scenes in this whole movie is when he got that DI to climb that tower, which in real life, the DI would have smoked his ass, but instead he gets, you know, he gets a mortar round.
You want to explain what DI is for us civilians out here?
Drill instructor.
DI, like fucking.
So wait a minute. Back to this whole thing of that. You really believe that Bill Murray did a lot of fantastic films? Where do you put Osmosis Jones in your little repertoire?
Oh, that's up there.
Really?
That's right up there with fucking Space Jam. Don't get me started on his little roles.
Okay, so in the trifecta of Bill Murray comedies, because I actually agree with James, what to you are his top three?
Well, this one, Ghostbusters, and Groundhog Day. Pretty much in that order.
Wow.
Actually, reversed the order in which I set them, like, so in ascending order, I suppose.
Have you seen Monuments Men?
No, I never saw that, actually.
Me neither. I don't want to see that one. I kind of want to know where this one stands with it. Because this one, for me, it's at least middle ground of a Bill Murray. Like, I'm not putting it in the same category I would with What About Bob, since I've noticed you haven't touched that one yet. But
no, What About Bob was all right. Really? Same thing with Caddyshack. Caddyshack was all right.
No, I really
loved
it.
Caddyshack gets a lot more due than it really needs. Well, that was like, to me, the redeeming part of the movie. Everything else was a little bit, it feels really dated now.
Well, you know, when I was a preteen teenager, I mean, I liked Rodney Dangerfield. Now I don't.
Yeah, Rodney Dangerfield, if you understand how much of an act it is, you can kind of respect the show aspect.
Yeah. No, I respect his act. I'm just saying that his movies, the role he played in it, I think just got annoying.
I was trying to agree with you. Yeah.
I do not like, I've never really liked most of his movies. I love his stand-up comedy, but that's because of his act specifically.
Well, basically his movies are him doing stand-up, but in front of a camera.
Is there a lot of stand-up comedy from Bill Murray that I've missed?
Oh, no, we're talking about Dangerfield. Sorry.
Oh, Dangerfield. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought we were back on Bill Murray. I'm like, Bill Murray was from Saturday Night Live. He
didn't, you know, in this film, I think they really dropped the ball with how little they used John Candy. Well, I don't know about you guys. I really enjoyed John Candy.
This was a Bill Murray vehicle. Oh, yeah. You know, John Candy was great in the parts that he was in, you know.
I really liked Harold Ramis in this one, too.
The only thing is, I don't know. Yeah. I kind of think that John Candy's and Bill Murray's sense of comedy would not have meshed really well in this. What was that?
Sorry. I was going to say, Bill Murray's comedy stands the test of time. That shit's always funny.
Well, no, I don't disagree. Because Bill Murray's over the top, but he does it in a way that it's still relevant. John Candy,
you guys are bigger Bill Murray fans than I am.
Yes. John Candy, I just don't think his sense of humor would have translated very well if they kind of pumped up his role a little bit. I thought
kind of saying his standard comedy is, are you talking about the camp? one? Are you talking about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Well, yeah, like Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. You do that. You do Cool Running. Like all of his movies, or Uncle Bob, if that's what Uncle Buck. You know, it's a typical comedy. I just don't think it would have meshed very well with Bill Murray. It's just such an over the top character.
Well, it was again a Bill Murray movie. Yeah. You know, it's not a fucking buddy cop movie.
You know, totally. I'll give you that one because I think if they used John Candy, I think they could have used him a little bit more without it becoming the John Candy movie instead of the Bill Murray movie.
I actually thought they used him perfectly because you got...
What was great is you have three characters who were able to be funny off of the drill instructor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's where the straight guy came in because, like, otherwise, if it was a buddy movie... With him and John Candy, one of them would have to be the straight guy, and obviously, you know, Candy would be the frustrated partner or whatever. But this one, all of them got to play off of Warren Oates, you know, Sergeant Hulka. That kind of ball busty nature goes great with the sarcasm, and then the little camaraderie that you have between the three of them and the whole drill instructor boot camp deal.
Oh no, I agree completely.
It was perfectly structured, is my point.
No, I agree. I think they used John Candy perfectly. I thought they used Ramis perfectly.
Ramis. Ryan sighing over there, like, can't you get his name right?
No, I'm sticking to it. I thought they did the bit perfect. The only character in this entire movie that I just thought was really stupid and unneeded was Francis. I never saw why he was needed. I mean, he didn't bring anything to it except for the fact that, okay, maybe they're trying to show that, you know, sometimes the people who join the army aren't exactly normal. I couldn't figure out what the fuck he was there for. I still don't know. And I've seen this movie a lot.
I think they were just trying to, like you said, throw in just a standard character into what would be joining the army and kind of... That's basically all it was. He really wasn't there for anything much at all. I mean, I'm glad they only used him in, what, three, four scenes?
Yeah.
So that more of him would have really destroyed the film. But,
because I thought he did laugh much
through this one? Because I can only say that I laughed maybe three or four times.
I have the problem of I've seen this movie a lot. And yep. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. So there's still some scenes I laugh at, but it's no longer a laughing out loud. It's more, I'm really
knee slapper.
Yeah, or it's more like nostalgia for me at this point because I've seen it so much.
You know, I've never actually seen this film from beginning to end in one sitting.
Oh God, I've
seen all of it before, but that's if you put everything together.
I've probably seen this movie 100 times.
So,
and I wish I was kidding. I've watched it a lot just because it's Bill Murray.
I don't know if I had a choice between this. Spies Like Us or In the Army Now, I think I'd go with In the Army Now or Spies Like Us.
Oh, hell no. I'd be watching this.
Yeah, this and then Spies Like Us because I fucking love that movie.
I love that movie too. But it kind of seems like it's the same type of thing. You know, you got these shenanigan guys that end up stealing something they're not supposed to. More shenanigans ensue. They come to rescue the day. Bingo, bango, you're done.
This is the formula of any Todd Phillips movie. You know, the Judd Apatow type of stuff. It's the same formula that's worked forever. Get funny people together and tell
this one where, you know, you're bringing up that there's only really three to four blueprints to any movie.
Oh yeah.
So it's
I think that the
you're
difference
have it the same coming out, and you're going to be able to compare it to like I just did with In the Army Now and Spies Like Us.
The difference though is the you got the Bill Murray and Harold Ramis is the fact that you've got two people who play off each other really well, and who at this time were still friends. They hated each other.
I would say this is one of the few films that you see Harold Ramis basically be a main character.
No,
he's an ancillary character to other people.
He was a main character in Ghostbusters.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying that there's not many films, unlike Bill Murray's film career, where you know, you have Harold Ramis basically being the star or co-star of it.
I'll agree with that, I guess.
So it was nice to see a more be not so much the straight character that he usually is, with a little bits of side comedy mixed in, where he can actually, you know, it's more interesting to see him this way, and the kind of,
I would say he's usually dry comedy. Yeah, because there's that. There's
this
a scene
one was
that,
more of just flavorful comedy.
Yeah, because there's a scene in Ghostbusters where he talks about Bill Murray said, was it Bill Murray or somebody said about Egon trying
like
to drill a hole in his head,
years.
And he says, you know, oh, I would have worked. You know, it's he was extremely dry because of the character. But no, I agree.
By the way, I love him in Knocked Up as the stoner father to Seth Rogen. That was
good
fucking
point.
Great.
Yeah.
I've actually got to see part of that movie now. That's hilarious.
I mean, I'm kind of burned on Seth Rogen these days, but there are some decent ones of him.
The interesting thing about this movie is I don't know if I really like the end. That RV, that was the part of the movie that always kind of struck me as odd. There's all this secrecy for a badass RV. Then it gets revealed to the public because some guy decides to go on a, you know, a little bit of a holiday, and some dumbass lieutenant or whatever goes after him. It's just, I mean, I get it, but it's still kind of like stupid. And why can't my RV have a flamethrower?
And hold on, this wasn't necessarily an RV. This is a Volkswagen bus that they turned into a military spy
vehicle. It was a recreational vehicle.
All right. I don't know. I still think I wouldn't mind having one of those these days. It'd be kind of fun.
But an RV or this one?
Well, I would prefer that one with a kitchen, of course. It's a little counter space, you know, I can cook with a little propane.
I do love the fact that during the scene where they lowered the back end, somehow there was more room inside of it than it was in the initial scenes.
Yeah.
It's like, there was definitely multiple versions of this thing.
So I got a question because I didn't spot him. Maybe you guys did. But did you know that Ray Jackson was one of the bouncers at the mud wrestling bar?
No.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Bloodsport. Ray Tiny Jackson.
Oh, shit. No.
Oh, shit.
No. No. Yep. He was one of the bouncers.
Oh, shit. You're right.
At the mud wrestling place.
You're right. Now I know. Yes.
And I totally missed him until I went through this. And I'm like, wait a minute. I saw Donald Gibb. And I'm looking at him like, that's Tiny Ray Tiny Jackson from Bloodsports. So I thought it was a nice little kind of Easter egg to find going through the cast. But the other thing that really bugged me about this film, and I think it was just a pet peeve of mine seeing it in basic training in the Army, is move the rifle around your head, not your head around the rifle. Okay.
Well, they probably
if you
did that.
Don't know what that's from, then you don't know. They just don't have to lead them this much.
I do love the way Bill Murray kind of gingerly tossed that grenade. It was chink.
Oh, yeah.
Tunk. And it's funny. The only reason why I think that's funny is a friend of mine was actually in the military, and him and I were actually talking about the.
They weigh more than you think.
Then he says, "You possibly have 3 seconds before it goes off." So he was saying, you know, so I was saying that, you know, he pulls the pin, one, just like, it's like, dude, you would have killed yourself by the time, according to a friend of mine. But honestly, I like this movie. I still like this movie. Bill Murray's comedies, in my opinion, are always the same quality or better. Usually, in my opinion, they're not worse than this. If that makes sense. If you like, for me, this would be a baseline. Because, I'd say I still go like 3 to 5. I really do like this movie.
You know, I think just kind of you talking about Bill Murray's comedy just made me realize why I liked him so much in Caddyshack over this, is because he plays a completely different character than he usually plays in all of his comedies, as he plays in Caddyshack, where he's kind of the dumb yokel gardens man, you know, type thing that he did in that one. So it was a little bit different Bill Murray comedy for me. But this one for me, it just kind of seems like it just didn't do anything for me. I wasn't really laughing. The only scenes that I really laughed at were John Candy teaching some guy how to play poker. I don't really think I can go over a 2, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not up to what I like to see Bill Murray do.
Ryan?
Still 3 out of 5. I'm with you on this one. And I'm, let me tell you, Charney, it does my heart good that you like Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Because I know your absolute disdain for comedies.
That's what I was going to say is this is a very rare thing where John and Ryan are together on a comedy film when I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very rare thing.
Because it's Bill Murray, and Groundhog Day is literally one of my favorite movies, which I've probably seen it and since it came out in theaters probably 200 times.
Yeah, I got a big crush on Andy McDowell from that film, though.
The weirdest part of that movie is even if you catch it in the middle, you didn't really lose much.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I love it.
Well, you might like not really understand the like 5-10 minute scene of him just continuously killing himself. You might not get that.
Honestly,
you catch up along the way.
That's still my favorite section of that movie. ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. Do you have any movies you'd love us to do or even any movie reviews you want to forward to us? Just go there. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a TV show, so James, batter up.
You know, this one is called The Sinner. It came out, I think, that maybe a month ago. And it kind of caught the news because there was a lot of people disturbed by this film, by this TV show. Basic premise is a young mother tries to find out what's causing her to have violent tendencies. And she literally stabs some dude like 6 times in the middle of a full beach on a lake in front of like kids and everything. And I think that's what disturbed a lot of people. But for me, this just, there was no intrigue.
Oh, wait, I'm still trying to figure out, people are disturbed by that, but they love Game of Thrones. There's more disturbing stuff in Game of Thrones than there is in stabbing somebody in the middle of a beach.
I'm pretty sure this is, I think I marked it down as a, yeah, it's a USA TV show. So that might be why it was okay. So
basically, it's an Alphabet Channel of cable.
Yeah, yeah. It was the one that, you know, I guess people aren't really expecting to see somebody get stabbed and their arteries spraying blood all over the beach and all over people.
USA's trying to turn it up a notch.
But for me, this one has already been done. There's a TV show out there called The Killing. And that one is way better than this one.
Good
and
movie.
This one is kind of like, it's like trying to be that, but failing. I give it if you want to watch the first episode, go ahead. It's just boring and there's no intrigue, really. It was just pathetic to me.
So what was
this
there anything?
Is not a must-see.
Was there anything in particular that you just kind of, you hated or was it just meh the whole time?
It was just basically meh the whole time. You remember the Robin Williams one where he was a killer? Oh God, what was the name of it?
Insomnia?
Yes.
Yeah. Insomnia. Or 1 hour photo.
Insomnia. Yeah. So you know how the pacing of that is really slow, but there's at least enough intrigue that you go to the next scene?
Yeah.
This one is like the pacing of that, but not enough intrigue to go anywhere with it.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
brutal.
Yeah, that's a really bad review for it, and I think it deserves
it. So on the feel factor, it's probably an hour TV show. How long did it actually feel?
Well,
like
I'll tell you what, it's eight parts. It's more of a mini series than a show. It's a series in 8 parts. It's not in for a second season.
Dude,
so,
I'm not so sure about that.
If they do, it's not going to be with Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
It'd be like what they do with American Horror. You know? How
yeah.
They
if,
have,
if anything, it would be an anthology, but that's not where they're going with this.
Yeah. It was disappointing, really.
It's a one-off.
Because yeah. I didn't hear about this until James brought it to his attention a couple of weeks ago. So.
Well, I heard about it before it even came out, and it was one of those, you know, I was like, I'm actually kind of interested in this one. I watched it, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to waste my time even going for a second episode. I might catch it when it's all done, and I really, you know, I'm done with everything else that I'm actually interested in, maybe.
I think the problem nowadays with TV shows is, you know, there's American Horror. There's all these horror-based TV shows. There's people, they're trying to, you know, catch lightning in a bottle, and it's obviously this one just failed.
Yeah.
They're after the sort of untapped television market of the people who used to like getting scared watching The Outer Limits or Twilight Zone.
All right.
you know, with the sort of anthology things, and obviously, you know, times change, a little more twisted these days of killer clowns, et cetera, et cetera. But this one, go ahead.
No, so I'm just thinking, you know, you've got Outer Limits, you've got Twilight Zone, you've got television shows that had amazing cast, amazing writing that you knew what you were in for, and by the description of this, you didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
Well, let me point something out though. James has a very dark sensibility.
True.
Especially in viewing, he does not view things like your average person.
Sure. Goes back to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we got into a list of like comedies, you would start thinking to yourself into the list like, wait, that's not a comedy. Wait a second. What's going on here? Where did this list get into the darkest shit of all time? And why is he saying they're comedies?
Anyway, I'd start the list with Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's Tarantino, and his movies are remarkably funny, regardless of subject matter.
Sin City, Frank Miller.
definitely funny.
Do you want me to keep going? I mean,
those are meant to be funny, but I'm talking about like you would call like Hostel a comedy or some shit.
There was some funny shit in there. So was Saw.
So that's
right.
That's
Final Destination.
So before we get too deep down the rabbit hole, let's finish this conversation on Real Flix Reviews Movie News. Okay. So,
well, okay, hold on. To finish my point is take James's comments about this television show with a grain of salt, because it has gotten nothing but amazing reviews.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing I'm saying is, like, for me, it's not a must watch.
Yeah, if you're into the kind of sort of more middle of the road kind of scares, you know, the USA type of programming might be for you.
If you guys have actually out there sat down and have watched The Killing, and I'm pulling up another one, The Fall, which is also a movie that came out from 2013-2016 with Gillian Anderson. If you watch those two shows, give this one a try. You may like it, you may not. But those are kind of more the darker mystery ones with serial killers and different psychosis going on. You may find this one interesting. I've seen both of those shows.
What channels were the other ones on?
The Fall was a BBC production. The Killing, I think it was, I think it might have actually been a USA production as well. But they were both dark thrillers.
Was that the one with Bacon?
The Fall?
No, The Killing.
No, the Kevin Bacon was in more of a cult show. I can't think of the name of it.
I would see.
Anyways, Kevin Bacon did a show similar to this.
Oh, The Following.
The Following.
See,
thank
I would
you.
Say if it was on USA, the USA is kind of, you know, the ma and pa kettle cable channel. So I think Ryan has a point there. It's the fact it's middle of the road. It's never going to be truly scary, but it's so no. I see what Ryan's saying. You know, and I agree with him. It's not for people like James.
Yeah.
It's for the type of people who think that Game of Thrones is too much.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and obviously it's apples and oranges that I just compared, but point notwithstanding, it's
yeah, Game of Thrones has more sex.
Well, yeah, more sex, more absolute violence and the profanity and the subject matter in general is very twisted at times. These are going to be like, hey, look, it's like the old John Grisham spy novels, you know, or, you know, the mysteries that your grandparents like to read. You know, the book were like 3 inches thick and they were paperback. Like,
so, yeah. So next week is James's pick. So,
okay. So my pick comes with a question for you and Ryan. I just want to see if you guys know why I am picking this one when I have 9 other ones, or actually 8 other ones to pick from. I am picking the 1985 classic Police Academy 2.
Oh, Jesus. Well, of course you're picking it because it's the one with Bobcat Goldthwait.
There we go. Good boy.
Because he was not in the first one.
Yep.
By the way, you know, for those out there who are misremembering that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I like the first one so much.
Dude, he was... All right, well, we will get into this when we watch the film. The TV show I'm picking, we already did the pilot to this one, but it did get picked up, and it will be continuing on. We are doing... episode four of, or oops, sorry, episode five of The Tick.
Oh wow! I didn't realize...
just go ahead, everybody. It's six fucking episodes. Watch the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it got picked up.
Yes, it did. It came. The whole thing was released on Friday of last week.
And it's wonderful.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave Stripes, made 1981, a 3 out of 5. James gave it a 2 out of 5. Ryan gave it a 3.5 out of 5. We kind of gave The Sinner a skip it. Unless you really want to watch
it. Try if you feel
next
like
week,
it.
We're doing the second Police Academy. And what TV show are we doing?
We're doing The Tick, Season 1, Episode 5.
And for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.